to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Sitcoms coming up in this hour. Later on, it's My Friend Irma. But first, an episode of Maxwell House Coffee Time, better known to listeners as The Burns and Allen Show. This episode features Jack Benny as special guest from November 29th, 1945 on NBC.
It's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. For deep down laughs and listening enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for deep down coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House, with extra flavor in the blend because of choice Latin American coffee, skillfully combined. Extra flavor in the cup because Radiant Roast develops the full flavor of every coffee bean. And the result is that today more people buy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world. Well, last week, George was left $5,000 in the will of his late Uncle Marvin. But the will, which was written 30 years ago, specified that the money had to be used for George's college education. Gracie talked him into enrolling at Beverly Hills Tech. And so we now find America's oldest and unhappiest college boy getting ready to leave for his morning classes.
Oh, gosh, honey, I feel like a darn fool going to college at my age. I dread that first class.
What is your first class?
American history. And I'm terrible. When I should have been studying history, I was in vaudeville.
Oh, I'll bet you're very good in history.
You do, huh? Yesterday, the professor asked, what great American stayed longest in the capital? I answered, Al Jolson.
Oh, darling, even I know better than that.
Certainly.
Was Eddie Cantor.
Not doing so well in math, either. The professor flunked me.
He what?
He flunked me.
Well, you should have flunked him right back.
Well, I'm going to give up college. I'm not learning anything.
Not learning anything? Why, you're getting much smarter than me. There you are studying things like civics. And I've never even seen a civic.
I'll bring one home sometime.
You should be proud to be going to college and learning things.
But, honey, my friends are laughing at me. Last night, the fellas called up and wanted me to go to a burlesque show with them. I had to say, I can't, guys. Haven't finished my homework.
All right. But when you do go to a burlesque show, you'll enjoy it more because you've studied anatomy.
That's an advantage?
Well, of course it is. To them, a leg is just a leg. But you can tell a tibia from a fibula.
Oh, sure. I can whistle and stamp my metatarsal. I tell you, honey, I'm too old to go to college. Yesterday, we were discussing the Battle of Gettysburg, and the professor called on me.
Well, what's wrong with that?
He wanted an eyewitness account.
He was only kidding. You look very young. Well, I'll bet you win that contest they're having to pick the most popular man at Beverly Hills Tech.
Oh, don't be silly. I don't stand a chance.
Come in.
Well, hi, Burgess.
Oh, Bill, I want to ask you something. Doesn't George look young?
Young? George?
Here we go. All right, Bill. Come on, slug me.
Oh, George. I think you're terrific. You've got everything. Huh? Well, you know, I think you're great, George. You're so... And you have such... And then there's your... Well, not to mention that... Well, I could go on saying those wonderful things about you for hours.
Well, I say a few. Would you say that George is handsome?
Well, there's not a handsomer man in the state of California.
Oh, why, Bill, you're handsomer than I am.
Well, all right, then, one. Got me on a technicality.
Small tech.
Well, would you say that George looks young?
Well, in his 20s.
Well, no, I believe you love George.
You bet I do, Gracie. Kind and clever, that's handsome young George. You know, about this time of year, handsome young George says to himself, What does deserving old Bill want for Christmas this year?
I got a TL for you, deserving old Bill. Handsome young George isn't getting any Christmas presents this year.
What?
Something tells me handsome young George has just heard his last kind word from deserving old Bill.
No Christmas present? Why, you miserable little miser. You antiquated little scarecrow.
Why, Bill, a minute ago you said that George was handsome in his 20s.
Well, he may have been handsome in his 20s, but who remembers 50 years ago?
Goodbye, humorist.
See you later, Scrooge.
You see, Gracie, let's stop kidding ourselves. College is not for me.
Well, George, your Uncle Marvin left you $5,000 to be used for your college education. Now, if you don't use it, what'll become of it?
I asked the lawyer that. He said it would go to a home for down-and-out actors.
Well, I'd much rather you got it now.
But, honey...
Think of the fine traditions of college. Think of the dignity and the stature it gives you just to be attending. Come in.
Is Georgie ready to go to school?
Oh. Be with you in a minute, Bobby.
I got a lot of books for you to carry today, Georgie.
Okay.
George, you have to carry that boy's book?
Certainly. He's a senior. I'm only a freshman.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Georgie, why didn't you tell me you had a swell-looking sister?
Yeah.
And me hunting the doll for the senior prom. Well, this is just a hag for me to drag.
Look, Bobby,
why, she'll be the queen of the prom.
Yeah, me? Among all those college girls?
Are you kidding? Well, you're a slick chick. There ain't another tomato like you on Vine.
Well, I'll read.
We'll cut a rug. We'll really squirm, worm.
Well, beat me to the socks, Bobby.
Beat me to the socks, Bobby. This chick is dynamite.
Well, all right.
Well, all right.
Okay, let's go to school.
So, Meredith, we've just got to keep George in college. I know you'll help because you're an intellectual like me.
Well, I've noticed that too, Gracie.
Yeah, it's up to us to guide George's footsteps so that he'll be brilliant and witty like us.
Uh-huh.
And be able to discuss books and operas and things.
Yeah. Have you read any good books lately?
No.
Neither have I.
You've been to the opera recently?
No.
Me either.
Gee, what a shame that George can't discuss these things like we can.
Well, he will be able to if we can keep him from quitting college.
What does he want to quit for?
Well, he thinks he's too old. Now, if we could just get someone his own age to go to college with him now. Maybe someone on the radio.
They have some awfully old women on the Tom Brenneman program.
Isn't that old? And besides, we need a man, someone George can pal around with.
It'll be awfully hard to find him in radio because the stars of the big programs have already gone to college. Look at the Rudy Valley program and the Jack Benny program.
The star of the Jack Benny program is a college man?
Sure. Rochester went to college.
A wonderful idea.
I have?
Jack Benny is the perfect man to go to college with George. They're old friends, and they both need an education. I'll go right over and see him.
Well, you'll never talk Jack Benny into going to college.
Oh, I don't know. There's always flattery.
Well, that's true. Any man with blood in his veins is susceptible to flattery.
Well, I'll try it on Jack anyway. See you later, Meredith.
Yes? Well, Gracie, hello.
Oh, excuse me, I have the wrong house, Van.
Van?
Oh, aren't you Van Johnson?
No, Gracie, it's me, Jack Benny. Gracie, how could you possibly get me mixed up with Van Johnson? We're miles apart.
You are?
Certainly, he's at Metro and I'm at Warner Brothers. You thought I was Van Johnson. Well, come in and sit down, Gracie. Here, I'll turn on the light. mustn't strain eyes as good as yours.
Jack, I've come to ask you a favor.
Anything at all. Van Johnson, that's cute. What is it you want me to do, Gracie?
Well, I want you to make George into a college boy.
Gracie, you misunderstood me. I'm with Warner Brothers, not Mayo Brothers. That many vitamin pills.
Oh, no, Jack, nothing like that. You see, George is already going to college, and I want you to go with him.
Me? Go to college?
Well, college is oodles of fun, Jack. Football games, basketball, track meet.
No, forget it, Grace.
Studying things like psychology, chemistry, languages.
No, I'm not interested.
Meeting grand fellows, making dates with pretty co-eds, reading good books.
What was that?
Reading good books.
No, the one before that.
Making dates with pretty co-ed?
Yeah, that one seems rather interesting. I wonder if they'd mistake me for Van Johnson. They might if I got a crew haircut.
Oh, yes, you'd look wonderful in a crew haircut. And so distinguished. I bet you'd have the only gray one at school.
Well, I don't know about this college thing, Gracie. Of course, if I do it, it'll just be to help you and George, you understand. Are the co-eds really pretty?
Oh, beautiful. And all Jack Benny fans.
I mean, after all, you and George are my friends, but there's just one thing. Oh, not that it's important. I mean, not that I care, you know, one way or the other, but, doesn't it cost a lot of money?
Cost you a cent. George will pay your tuition and buy your books and everything.
Oh, Gracie, I couldn't let George do that.
You couldn't?
Well, if you put it that way, I guess I'm trapped. George would pay for everything, you say?
Oh, yes. You'll even get 50 cents a day for lunch.
50 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can eat for 30, and that gives me 20 cents a day clear. Unless I eat with a co-ed. In that case, I save the whole 50 cents. All right, Gracie, it's a deal.
Good. Lunch for your first week will be $3. Here's a $5 bill.
Oh, wait, I've got your change right here in my pocket. Here you are. 4 halves. Or if you'd rather have it in bills, I'll get out my billfold.
Oh, no, don't bother getting undressed. I'll take you right over to Beverly Hills Tech and enroll you.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if those co-eds will mistake me for Van Johnson. Maybe I better have Rochester give me just a little henna rinse.
Oh, Rochester!
George, I'm so proud of you. You've really showed an interest in college these past few days, ever since Jack Benny started.
You know, I can't get over that tightwad starting to college. I'd like to know what poor sapper's putting up the money. I'd laugh right in his face.
Well, that'll be pretty hard for you to do.
Yeah.
Huh? I meant Jack wouldn't tell you. But I'm so happy about the progress you're making in your studies. You know, I just adored it last night when you spoke to the waiter in French.
Yeah.
Without batting an eye, you said to him, "Bring me an order of la ham and la eggs."
Well, I've been studying my French pretty hard. I'm not going to let Jack Benny get ahead of me. By the way, I got a surprise for you.
Oh, what?
I entered the contest for the most popular man at Beverly Hills Tech.
Oh, wonderful. I know you're going...
Come in. Hello, Gracie.
Oh, good morning, Jack. George will be ready to leave for school in just a minute.
Good. By the way, George, I saw the results of the chemistry quiz. Passing was 75. You got 29.
Holy smoke, 29.
That's right. You know, if you'd like me to coach you a little after school, I'd be glad to. I mean, there's no reason why your grades can't be up with mine.
What did you get, Jack?
31.
Well, anyway, I'll bet George is better than you are in French.
Better in French? Yeah. Why, I know a whole sentence. Ouvrez la fenêtre.
What does it mean?
Open the window.
Well, suppose George doesn't know that. Does it matter?
Does it matter? Put him in France on a hot day and he'll suffocate.
You won't feel so smart, Jack Benny, when my husband is chosen most popular man at Beverly Hills Tech.
Gracie, are you by any chance referring to that contest at school which I have already as good as won?
Oh, are you running too?
Running? I could skip and be George. In just an hour, I have an appointment with Betty Calhoun, the co-ed president. She's a little southern girl, and I think I know how to sew up the co-ed bow.
Oh, a southern girl, huh?
Yeah. Come on, George. Let's go to school.
Yeah. Run along, yeah. George. And don't worry about the co-ed vote. Pardon me, are you Betty Calhoun?
That's right. Was there something I could do for y'all?
Well, yes. I want you to get all the co-eds to vote for George Burns at the student rally tonight.
George Burns? That funny little old man?
Oh, please, Betty. I wish you wouldn't talk that way about my son.
Your son? How could you have a son his age?
Oh, I didn't. When I had him, he was just a baby.
But he looks so old.
Oh, he isn't really. He just looked that way because he had such an unhappy childhood down south.
You don't mean to say that Mr. Burns is a shown-up southerner, too?
Too? Well, don't tell me you're from the south.
Couldn't y'all tell?
How could I?
Well, tell me about George's childhood.
Oh, it was awful. We were so poor, little Georgie didn't even have pants to wear.
Not even jeans?
Oh, hers wouldn't fit him at all. Oh, it was terrible. We tried to make a living, but everything went wrong. When the cotton market was high, we planted cotton. Up came wool.
But you get wool from sheep.
Oh, well, up came sheep and ate the cotton.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we planted tobacco. Some auctioneers came to buy it, but before we could figure out what they were saying, the tobacco was dead. Miss Calhoun, now that you know George Burns was a poor, unhappy southern boy, won't you get the co-eds to vote for him?
Well, I haven't talked to Mr. Benny yet.
Mr. Benny? You mean you'd even speak to that Yankee?
Are you sure he's a Yankee?
The worst kind, a northern Yankee. From Waukegan. His full name is Jack General Sherman Benny.
You mean he was named after General Sherman?
Yeah, and not very long after.
In that case, I'll downright snub him.
Well, get ready. Here he comes.
Well, shut my mouth if it isn't. Lovely and charming Betty Calhoun. Why, ma'am, you all sure enough look as pretty as a magnolia blossom from my old sure enough plantation.
Oh, no.
And greetings to you all, Mrs. Burns, ma'am.
Hello, Amos.
Benny sounds like a southerner, but Benny isn't a southern name.
You all ain't heard my full name, ma'am. It's Lee Stonewall Magnolia Fort Worth Taters Benny.
Really?
L-S-M-F-T.
But aren't you from Waukegan?
I'm proud to say I am. Waukegan, Virginia. Garden spot of the South. Folks down there will be mighty unhappy if you all don't get me elected most popular man at Beverly Hills Tech.
Oh, shame on you, Mrs. Burns, for calling this fine southern gentleman a Yankee. Come along, Stonewall.
Who? Oh, sure enough. Goodbye, Mrs. Burns, you all.
Oh, that unscrupulous man. Cheating to win the election. Oh, thank goodness George had never stooped to deceit or trickery. Well, that leaves it to me, and I enjoy it so much. Hurry up and get dressed, dear. We'll be late for the student rally.
Oh, what's the use of going at all? Fenny has got the co-ed vote sewed up.
Oh.
He'll swamp me.
He'll do nothing of the sort. Don't forget, every contestant will be called out to entertain tonight. And you're going to sing.
You think they'll like my singing?
Like it? Oh, darling, every time you sing, a chill runs up and down my spine.
Really?
Yeah, come on, sweetheart. Touch a spark of melody to the powder keg of your tonsils and blast me to paradise.
Okay.
Ain't misbehaving.
Oh!
A chill did run up your spine.
Oh!
What was that?
The return trip.
Oh. but Benny is going to play his violin and they might go for that.
Oh, don't be silly. What is violin playing anyhow? A horse's tail dragged across part of a cat. Believe me, when you sing, you sound better than any horse's tail or any part of a cat.
That's the sweetest thing you've ever said to me.
Besides, I wouldn't worry about Jack Benny. Bill Goodwin's going to introduce him, and I've had a little talk with Bill.
You wouldn't louse him up, would you?
College hasn't done a thing for you, has it?
All right, students. The contest for most popular man at Beverly Hills Tech continues. And now, it's a real honor for me to introduce this next contestant, a truly great artist.
That's me, folks.
He's a famous star of stage, screen, and radio.
I can't wait for television.
Not only a great wit, but a violin virtuoso.
That means I play well.
And here he is in person, John Bunny.
That's Benny, Jack Benny. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to play for you Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. I would like to, but I can't. Instead, I will play a famous old gypsy melody.
By the way, I forgot to say that Mr. Barney plays a...
Benny, that's Benny.
Oh, I forgot to say that he plays a Stradivari.
Thank you.
That's the finest violin made, you know. Go ahead, Mr. Boney.
Benny.
In fact, a Stradivarius is to violins what Maxwell House is to coffee.
Look, the students here would like
well,
if I played...
Well, of course they'd like it. More people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world. Well, go ahead and play, Mr. Beanie.
Beanie.
Oh, and speaking of beans, only superior coffee beans are blended and radiant roasted from Maxwell House. That's why Maxwell House is so appetizing, rich, full-bodied, and mellow. Coffee at its full-flavored best, good to the last drop. And now, back to Mr. Benny.
That's Beanie.
No, you're right.
Can I play now?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Bunny. Thank you very much. Students, you have just heard John Bunny and his magic violin.
Wait a minute.
You had your chance.
Look, but I...
Step aside, Mr. O'Flaherty.
That's one I didn't expect.
And now, our next contestant for most popular man at Beverly Hills Tech is the campus heartthrob, that handsome singer of songs, Sugar Throat Burns.
Say, George, I know I'm licked, and just to show you I'm a good sport, there's no hard feelings, I'll accompany your song.
Well, gee, that's swell of you, Jack. I'm going to sing Ain't Misbehavin'.
Ain't misbehaving. All right, here's your introduction.
Jack. Jay. That's the wrong tune. Look, I'll start singing, then you follow me.
Ain't misbehaving all by myself. Ain't misbehaving, I'm happy on the shelf.
Look, Jack, follow me.
No one to talk to, save a normal love for. Oh, baby, love for you. Really save a love for you. Ain't misbehaving, I'm on the shelf by myself. Oh, no, I ain't misbehaving. It's love and blue. Daddy, 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 go away.
George, I told you Jack Benny wouldn't win.
You were right.
Oh, darling, I'm so proud to be going to the prom with the most popular man of Beverly Hills Tech.
It's an honor, all right.
We'll dance our feet off.
Yeah.
Well, come on, Bobby. They're waiting for us at the prom.
Well, all right.
Well, all right.
Well, send me solid.
Latch on, Gig. We're swinging tonight.
Not your kid.
Goody, goody, jello pudding tonight. It tastes like grandma's only morsel.
You ain't kidding, that's right.
And just as jello, six delicious locked-in flavors can't be beaten. So the proof of jello pudding's in the eating.
The jello twins are hard to find, but keep on looking in your store. When sugar shortages are over, there'll be more.
Just the taste of jello pudding, or of jello, and you know it's the one and only J-E-L-L-O.
We'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson, the orchestra, yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one brand of coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from the 29th of November, 1945 on NBC. At this point in radio, comedian Jack Benny was well dug into his weekly radio program for Lucky Strike on NBC, but he did visit another network. Just a few weeks before that Burns and Allen broadcast, Benny was heard on the CBS program Request Performance, which featured a rotating set of hosts and big-name guests from the world of radio and film. In his episode, he co-starred with actors from the film noir The Maltese Falcon, Mary Astor, and Sidney Greenstreet. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of My Friend Irma, quite popular with listeners during its day. This is near the conclusion of the series from 1953 on CBS.
Bobby, the new thin girl home permanent for a casual wave, presents transcribed My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard with Mary Shipp as Kay and starring Marie Wilson as Irma.
Why are you late?
Well, there was a big fire downtown, and the taxi cab I was in couldn't get through.
Taxi cab? You always take the bus to work.
I know, but the bus wasn't going anywhere near the fire, so I had to take a taxi.
That's very interesting. Now, would you please sit down and take some dictation?
Oh, all right. Wait, just a minute.
All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is to my gardener. These are instructions about cutting back my roses. Be especially careful about pruning the Cecil Bruners, or we will not win a prize at the show. Have you got that?
Yes, sir. I'll read it back to you.
Oh, if you want to.
Tell Rose to be especially careful about winning a prize, even if she has to put prunes in Cecil's bloomers.
No, that's not quite right, Miss Peterson, but never mind. I'll do it myself.
Yourself? Aren't you going to bawl me out?
No. The way I feel, I don't really care. I don't care about anything anymore. Why don't you take the rest of the day off?
Oh, Mr. Clyde, you're crying. There are tears in your eyes. What's wrong?
Oh, please, Miss Peterson, there's nothing you can do. It's strictly a personal affair.
Well, you can tell me. I'm a person.
My wife wants to divorce me.
Divorce?
Yes, and I can't understand it. I've tried so hard to measure up to her expectations. But it's no use. She thinks I have no depth.
Why, that's ridiculous. If you put on another pound, you'd only look sloppier.
Please, Miss Peterson, why don't you go home?
No, Mr. Clyde, I'm not going to leave you alone. Because I know how badly you feel, and I feel the same way. I think divorces are terribly sad.
We would have been married 25 years next January.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Miss Peterson, if there was only something I could do to bring her back to her senses, I haven't done anything to deserve this.
Of course you haven't. You're a nice man, Mr. Clyde.
Thank you, Miss Peterson. It's comforting to hear you say so. Yeah, I've never forgotten a birthday or an anniversary. In May, I bought her a Picasso. But does she appreciate it? No.
Well, maybe when she takes lessons and learns how to play it, she'll like it better.
Picasso is a painting, Miss Peterson. Oh. I catered to her every whim. Only last week, I ran my legs off to get her a handsome Chippendale secretary.
Well, don't you know the first rule of marriage is never leave another man in the house after you go to work?
Do me a favor, Miss Peterson, go!
Oh, you need help, Mr. Clyde. And I'm sure your marriage can still be saved.
I don't see how.
Well, I'll think of something. And I guarantee you that you and Mrs. Clyde will be back together again before you know it.
Oh, if I could believe that, I'd never forget you.
No, Mr. Clyde, I don't want anything. The only reward I want is that when you and Mrs. Clyde are together again next Christmas and are looking for things to hang on the tree, just think of me.
Irma, what are you doing home so early?
Don't tell us you lost your job again.
Oh, no, worse than that. Mr. Clyde's wife is going to divorce him.
When did this happen?
Are you sure, Irma?
Mr. Clyde told me so himself.
Oh, the poor lonely man. He's going to be single again. But what did you say his telephone number was?
Listen, O'Reilly, don't start jumping for the boat before it reaches the pier. You can at least wait until the other passengers get off.
Oh, now stop it, the two of you. How can you joke about a thing like this?
Well, Irma, these things will happen.
But you don't know what they're doing, Kay. They need each other. Man is meant for woman, and they must go hand in hand down the highway, ever alert for the pitfalls and curves that lie ahead on the road of life.
Who puts out this song, the Automobile Club? Irma, I don't like the look in your eye. Just what are you planning?
Well, I'm going to get Mr. and Mrs. Clyde back together again.
You?
Yes.
What makes you think you're in a position to tell two grown-up people what to do with their lives?
Kay, do you know what the marriage ceremony says?
Well, so far I haven't had the pleasure of hearing it, but I'm trying like mad.
It says, these two who have been joined in holy matrimony, let no man put asunder. No. These two have been joined together in holy matrimony, let no man put asunder.
Yeah, I understand. Do you? What does asunder mean?
Asunder?
Yeah.
It's that noise you hear after lightning.
Oh.
The Clydes have run into a storm, and it's up to me to clear the weather.
Well, continue, my little smudge pot.
Okay, you don't believe in anything. You're just a natural-born septic.
Well, thank you.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Kay Irman, Mrs. O'Reilly, my three little natural beauties. You, Kay, as fresh as a cool mountain spring.
Well, how sweet.
And you, Irma, with the curves of a winding brook.
Thank you.
And you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Yes, Professor.
Old mudbank.
Why, Professor, now back
this is O'Reilly back.
Let me at that human pipe cleaner.
Something like that. After I gave him an electric heater with a fan in it.
Who asked you to? The fan blew a hole in the wall. The snow came in, the heater melted the snow, and I almost drowned.
Please, let's not have any quarrels. I'm sad enough as it is.
What's the matter with her, Kay?
Well, the Clydes are getting a divorce.
Divorce is a terrible thing. I don't believe in it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Only because it lets a woman free so she can hook another victim.
Now, that's a jaded, selfish way to look at marriage.
How else could a person look at it?
Oh, like my late husband Clancy used to. To him, our whole romance was a glorious adventure. He was the hunter, and I was the beautiful bird of paradise, flitting from tree to tree until he finally trapped me.
Well, I don't know what you looked like while he was hunting you, but by the looks of you now, he must have spent the rest of his life stuffing you.
Stop your wife, cracks. Can't you see poor Irma's upset and worried?
There must be some way to stop this divorce, and I'm going to do it.
You can count me out, honey. You can play Cupid, but I want to be out of the way when you let loose with those arrows. Bye.
Oh, glory be, look at that wind. I'd better get me petticoat off the line before it blows away.
And I better go with you. If the wind ever gets that thing up in the sky, we won't see the sun for 3 days.
Oh, I hope I'm not too late. Gee. Hello, Mr. Clyde. This is Irma. No message. I just wanted to make sure you hadn't killed yourself. You haven't, have you? Hello? Hello?
Hiya, beautiful.
Oh, hello, Joe, honey. Did you get my message?
I sure did, and I've been moving with the speed of a pickpocket who's just lifted a cop's wallet.
Oh, well, how are you doing, Joe?
Simple, beautiful. I got my friend Mushy trailing Mrs. Clyde.
Oh, Joe, do you think that's smart?
It's our only hope, dollface. Since she is suing Mr. Clyde, it's up to us to get something on her which will make her afraid to open her mouth, you see? Now, you've been around Mrs. Clyde. Do you think she's promiscuous?
No, she dresses very conservatively.
Promiscuous means, as the French say, chercher la femme, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.
Oh, I always get it confused with c'est la guerre, which means keep off the grass. Open in. Hey, it's Mushy.
Yeah.
Hello, Irma. Oh, there you are, Joe.
Well, Mush, how did you make out? Let's have your report.
Can I give it to you like them private eyes do on the radio?
Don't waste any time. Let's have it.
Well, it was like this, Chief. It was a cold, murky day. As I sat in my office, I got a call to tail this dame, Mrs. Clyde. I went immediately to her home and entered through the window. There was a shot.
A shot?
Yes. So I drank it. Then I sat down with the early time.
The newspaper?
No, the bottle. And I had another drink. Suddenly, I heard footsteps.
Yeah?
I quickly identified they was mine and decided not to follow them.
Mushy, will you stop with the drivel and get to the point?
Okay, Chief. I looked around the room and suddenly saw a cigar with lipstick on it.
A cigar?
Yeah. And I figured I had Mrs. Clyde dead to rights. All of a sudden, a hairy arm reached out to it.
Yeah?
It was the maid. She smokes cigars. Then I realized I was wasting my time.
There's only one thing to do. I'm going over and see Mrs. Clyde myself.
No, wait a minute, dollface. Don't go getting yourself involved.
But it's my duty. It's my duty, Joe. Unhappy people are like sick people. They need the care of a specialist. Goodbye, Joe.
Beautiful, where are you going?
I'm wanted in surgery.
Getting ready to call on Mrs. Clyde. She's putting on her best outfit. It's a red hat, a white dress, and a blue coat. Very effective. Besides, when she walks down the street, all the servicemen salute her. You know what she's taking with her? A statue of Cupid with a clock in its stomach. This is to show Mrs. Clyde there's still time for love. Of course, the clock doesn't work, but it's got its cuckoo along.
I
better talk to that girl. Irma.
Yes, Kay?
You know, as long as you're determined to go to Mrs. Clyde, you might as well listen to a few facts so you don't make a fool of yourself.
It's too late. I've already made up my mind.
Now, Irma, listen to me. I imagine that Mrs. Clyde is just as upset about this thing as Mr. Clyde is, so you'll have to be discreet.
Huh?
Well, your approach must be subtle and tactful, so I want you to remember my words carefully.
Oh, all right, Kay. I'll try to remember everything you tell me.
Good. Now, just remember this. Mrs. Clyde's husband knows she's a straight-laced woman who makes a point of bringing things to a head and getting them off her chest.
Oh, I'll remember that.
And secondly, Mrs. Clyde is an old-fashioned model wife, but being a wife is the only trade she knows. So you must convince her that if she loses him, she loses everything.
Oh, I won't forget it. Well, I'm off to the peace conference.
Good luck, Mrs. Dulles. And I do mean dull.
Gee, I hope I can bring them together.
Oh, Irma Peterson. Come in.
Thank you.
This is rather an unexpected visit. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. My, your place looks lovely. I see you have wallpaper in the entrance hall.
That's right.
I think wallpaper makes a room look so smart. I papered my bedroom and I did it all by myself.
Yes, I saw it and I knew you hung the paper yourself.
How did you know?
Well, a bumblebee generally sits on the rose. The rose doesn't sit on the bumblebee.
Well, we all make mistakes. Gee, your living room is beautiful. And I see you have new pictures. Is that General Grant?
That's my mother in a blue hat.
Oh, well, that vase of flowers in front made it look like a beard. Oh, gee, I'd better close this door. I didn't see that gentleman sitting in the corner without a shirt on. Any relation?
That's a Chinese Buddha. Well, be so kind. Will you tell me to what I owe the honor of this visit?
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Clyde. I'm going to have to be a little personal with you.
Well, go on, out with it.
Well, now let me see. What was it I was to remember?
Mrs. Clyde is a lace-headed woman who would like to put a point in her husband's chest.
No, that wasn't it. Oh, I remember. Oh, Mrs. Clyde, you're a straight-chested woman with a pointed head who likes to lace her husband.
I beg your pardon?
No, that's not it. Why can't I remember things? But this next thing is very important. Now, was it,
When Mr. Clyde takes a model to his house for an old-fashioned, that's his trade, and his wife should get lost.
No, it didn't go like that. Oh, Mrs. Clyde?
Yes?
Mrs. Clyde, you're an old-fashioned model, and if Mr. Clyde trades you in, he won't lose a thing.
I like that.
Oh, Mrs. Clyde, I didn't mean it like that. I was just using somebody else's words. But I'd like to tell you what I feel in my heart.
Thank you, Miss Peterson, but I'm afraid you're intruding on something that's very personal and of no concern to you.
But I don't see why we can't speak as woman to woman. After all, I have a man. His name is Joe, and he's a gentleman from head to tail.
I've met the man. You needn't have corrected yourself. Now, if you'll excuse me, Miss Peterson, I have some things that I'm scared about.
Oh, but Mrs. Clyde, you must listen to me. Mr. Clyde loves you.
How would you know?
Well, a secretary often knows more than the wife.
Oh? Oh, indeed.
Well, you see, Mr. Clyde talks in his sleep. I mean, you know, when he takes his nap in the office.
Well, don't tell me you eavesdrop.
Oh, no, that would be vulgar. I just turn on the dictaphone and go out.
Miss Peterson, if you don't mind.
No, you must hear me because I know what's wrong with your marriage. Something is missing. You have no children, nothing to link you and Mr. Clyde together.
So?
So I want you to think of me as your daughter, the missing link.
Well, it won't take much effort, but I'll try. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll please go, I'd be very much obliged.
All right, I'll go, but I'm very sad because I know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Well, you and Mr. Clyde will separate, and then some man will come and steal you away.
What about it?
Well, then it will be too late for Mr. Clyde to do anything, because there's no point in closing the barn door after the horse has been stolen.
Milton J. Clyde, attorney at law. Hello?
Yes, Martha.
No. No, your attorney hasn't spoken to me yet. Martha, don't you think you're being a little rash about this whole thing?
What? No, I promise you, I did not put her up to...
Well, here she is now. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, who was that on the phone, Mr. Clyde?
A pointy-headed woman that you said I was trading in for a new model.
Sorry about that. I got all mixed up. Has she changed her mind?
Changed her mind? Her attorney's on her way over here to discuss a separate maintenance.
You mean like alimony?
Yes, it's something like alimony.
Oh, gee, that's too bad. Mrs. O'Reilly always says that alimony is like laying a wreath on the grave of a departed soul.
Not Mrs. Clyde. I know her. She won't be satisfied with a wreath. She'll want the whole flower shop. Look, when her attorney gets here, will you help me out?
How?
Mrs. Clyde is claiming I'm a spendthrift, so I want you to tell her attorney that I'm extremely conservative.
Yes, I know. Cheap.
You just tell him that I shine my own shoes, bring my lunch to the office, and never spend a nickel on entertainment. You understand?
Oh, you couldn't find a more dependable person.
Yes, I know. Imagine that wife of mine claiming I'm extravagant when I've just arranged a $25,000 trust fund for her she doesn't even know about. Oh, well, what's the difference? Take this box of cigars down the hall to Sam Brooks. His wife just had a baby girl.
Do you think she should smoke so soon?
Oh, I can only remember where she put that dictation.
Are you Mr. Milton J. Clyde?
Yes, yes. What can I do for you?
My name is Drake. I'm from the Department of Internal Revenue.
Oh, fine. That's all I need to complete the day. What's on your mind?
We're just making a routine checkup on your returns for last year, and there's some pretty large deductions that we'd like to have you verify.
Well, I'm sure that everything's in order. I'll be glad to cooperate in any way I... Excuse me. Hello? Oh, Martha, dear, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to call you back. I was... No. No, your attorney hasn't gotten here yet. What? Tell him to forget the whole thing? You've changed your mind about going through with the divorce? Oh, darling. Well, you know I love you. What's that? You think the world of me? Attractive? You think I'm cute? Well, I am a little pudgy. What? You think I'm sweet and adorable? And you found the receipt for the trust fund. Oh, Martha, darling. Look, why don't you meet me downstairs at Tony's? We'll toast to our reunion and go out to dinner. I'll run right down and order champagne. Goodbye, my angel.
What about me, Mr. Clyde?
No. Haven't got time, son. I just made up with the biggest tax deduction a man ever had, Mrs. Community Property. My secretary will tell you everything you want to know. Just remember, I'm a businessman. I have large expenses. Goodbye. Miss Peterson, tell this man everything he wants to know. Goodbye. When you're dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas.
Well, miss, are you ready for me now?
Oh, yes, we were expecting you, sir.
You were? Well, good. Now, we get the general impression at the office that Mr. Clyde is a very extravagant man.
Are you kidding? He's the cheapest person you can meet.
You don't say so.
Yeah.
Well, there's no point in going through this list. Just give this to Mr. Clyde when he returns.
Oh, I will. I think this should clarify matters.
You have no idea. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, let's see. $14,000 payable to the government. Gosh, where's Mrs. Clyde going to live? In the White House?
When you're dancing and...
Oh, Mr. Clyde.
I forgot my overcoat. Congratulate me, Miss Peterson. Mrs. Clyde and I have buried the hatchet. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, but... Why does her lawyer want all this money, especially after I told him how cheap you were?
Her lawyer?
Yes.
Let me see that. $14,000. You idiot. That man was from the income tax department.
Well, you didn't tell me.
Well, why didn't you ask?
But I thought... Oh, you must want to shoot me. I bet you want to throw me out of the window. You probably want to murder me.
No, but keep talking until you come to something legal.
Well, Mr. Clyde narrowly averted Alcatraz by proving the expenditures he listed on his income tax returns were authentic. As for Irma, this whole thing has made a profound impression on her.
Kay?
Yes, what is it?
After Joe and I get married, there'll never be a divorce in our family.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yep. I think marriage is a 50-50 proposition. If I do anything wrong, I'll apologize. And if he does anything wrong, I'll ask him to forgive me.
See, this girl hasn't got any divorce problem at all. Why? Well, because most divorces are based on mental cruelty. And there isn't a person in the world who can prove there's anything mental about my friend, Irma.
Irma is transcribed and directed by Park Levy. Marie Wilson is starred as Irma, with Mary Shipp as Kay, Benny Rubin as Professor Kropotkin, Gloria Gordon as Mrs. O'Reilly, Alan Reed as Mr. Clyde, and Hal March as Joe. Also included in the cast were Barney Phillips, Virginia Gregg, and Lou Krugman. Script was by Park Levy, Stanley Adams, and Roland McLean. This is John Heaston speaking. My Friend Irma has been brought to you by Carter's Little Liver Pills, proved by 5 New York doctors to improve the flow of liver bile and break the laxative habit. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time to My Friend Irma. This is the CBS Radio Network.
My Friend Irma on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from 1953. And that brings down the curtain on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us again for more great radio programs from the past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.